We introduced a series of lessons last week that I'm going to be doing. We talked about eight dangers the church faced. Now we're going to look at each one of those dangers individually. The first one that we want to consider is ignorance. Ignorance is used many times as a derogatory term. I can remember hearing people just say, "You ignorant person," or "You ignorant something," and it's used in a derogatory term. And to tell someone that they are ignorant is simply saying there's something they don't know. And it may be ignorance in a certain area. I'm ignorant in lots of areas. There are lots of areas I can't talk about. I don't know much about them. Don't know how things work. And so I'm ignorant in those things. And it's not anything negative toward me. But when we're talking about God's word and being ignorant of his word, that's a totally different thing. That is something that's extremely important for us, not to be ignorant of the word of God. In 2 Timothy 2:24-26, we're told, "A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." And so there are a lot of people that are ignorant out there, and so of God's will in their lives. And so that's the reason it talks here about being able to teach them, and in humility correcting them who are ignorant of God's will, so that God will grant them repentance, that they might repent and accept the truth that they're taught and escape the snares of the devil, of which they are bound by at that time. Someone said, this is a man named Nagaryuna, maybe written in 100 to 200 AD, "If you desire ease, forsake learning. If you desire learning, forsake ease. How can a man at ease acquire knowledge? And how can an earnest student enjoy ease?" And so basically saying, if you really want to know something and learn something, it's going to take some effort. And sadly, many times people are just not willing to make the effort to learn. It's difficult sometimes even to get people to come back to the assemblies on Sunday night. About half of you won't be back tonight. Not willing to take that extra effort to come to the assembly on Sunday night and on Wednesday night for Bible study. That's a small amount. I remember Mel saying a number of times, that's the easy part. If you're not willing to do the easy part, then what's going to happen when you have to do the difficult things in being obedient to the will of God? Learning it is the easy part, but you have to work at it. And so if we're not willing to work at getting to know the will of God, we're probably not going to be obeying that either. God is displeased with our ignorance of his word. Hosea 4 and verse 6 says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." And so here, Hosea, God is talking to the priest, and we are priests of God today. Every Christian today is a priest of God. And if we've forgotten the law of God, he's going to forget us. And so this admonition, this principle is still valid for us today. If we reject knowledge, then there's no hope for us. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, we're told, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Be diligent, he says. And that goes along with that little poem that read about desiring ease, you're going to forsake learning, and vice versa. So you got to be diligent to rightly divide, or one translation says rightly handling, the word of truth. You've got to know the word of truth. You've got to know what God wants you to do, and it takes diligence to do that. And it takes diligence to be sure that you're not being taught false doctrine. And so we have to constantly be aware of the fact that anyone can teach us false doctrine. So we always have to check the scriptures to see if what we're being taught is true. Knowledge of God's word is necessary for our salvation. James 1 in verse 21 says, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." See, it's only through the knowledge of God's will that we can be saved. And so we have to study his word to find out what he wants us to do in our lives. And we can't just depend on what somebody told us, as we talked about earlier. We have to search the scriptures to see if what we're being taught is true. Ultimately, it's going to be our responsibility to be sure that we are practicing the truth of God's word, not anybody else. 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15. "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." The scriptures make us wise for salvation, helps us to know what we need to do to be saved, and gives us information on then how to do those things that we need to do. So knowledge is necessary for our salvation. If we really love the word, we will strive to learn it. Proverbs 23:23 says, "Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding." Buy the truth and do not sell it, simply saying you need to accumulate all the knowledge you can, all the truth that you can. And do not sell it just means you need to keep your knowledge. Doesn't mean we can't share it with others, and we have a responsibility to share it with others, obviously, to help them know how they can be saved also. But we need to love the word and want as much of the truth as we can get. 2 Thessalonians 2:8 through 12 says, "And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved." So if you don't love the truth, you're not going to accept the salvation, the terms of salvation that God has promised to us. And you're going to be taken in by those signs and lying wonders and deception that's out there. And then verse 12 says, "That they may all be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness." And verse 11, note, this is one of the most frightening scriptures in the Bible to me. "For this reason, because they did not love the truth, for this reason God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie." People sometimes are simply unwilling to accept the truth. You can talk to them about it till you're blue in the face, and they will not accept it. God allows them, if they don't love the truth enough to accept it when it's presented to them, God will allow them to believe the lie. And that's how we can go away from people after we've quoted scripture after scripture after scripture about a topic such as baptism. And they conclude, "Oh no, baptism has absolutely nothing to do with my salvation." And yet all of those scriptures that show that yes, baptism does have something to do with your salvation, they will not accept. And so God allows them to believe that. And so they go away even more convinced that they're right in spite of what the scriptures say. And so if we really love the word, we will strive to learn it. In Psalm 119, verses 47 through 48, and then 97, 127, 163, and 165, actually all of Psalm 119 has to do with the word of God. And a lot, it'd be good for us to read that regularly. And I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love. And I will meditate on your statutes. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold. Yes, more than fine gold. I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. And so David makes it very clear that loving the law of God or the will of God is so very important for us. And if we love the word of God, then we're going to want to learn it. And so that's the reason Psalm 119, David has talked so much about how he loved the word of the Lord. Didn't mean he was perfect. Obviously, he had great sins. And by the way, sometimes there have been situations in the church that are somewhat similar to what David did. David obviously committed adultery with Bathsheba, had her husband killed in battle. Terrible sins. So do we say, oh, I'm not going to read Psalms anymore because David wrote a lot of those Psalms and he was such a sinner, I'm not going to read what he wrote. No, we still read those things. He repented of his sins. And so even today, there are people who have gone off into sin who have written books that have excellent teachings in them. And we don't, and videos and all sorts of things. And we don't just discount everything they said because they committed a sin. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And so we don't throw away all those books written by somebody. The books are great. There's no false teaching in them. Then there's no reason to discount them because their writer sinned sometime in their life. Because we all sin. And the same thing's true with David. We don't throw away the Psalms because of the terrible sins that David committed. The Word of God is the only way we know God's will. And that's the reason it's so important for us to study the Word of God. How else are you going to know the will of God except through His Word? Now, there are people today who say, oh, God spoke to me. One person even said, God tugged on my toe in the middle of the night, woke me up and told me this. If God's going to tell you something that's different than what the Word of God says, that God is lying to you. That's a false God. And so we've got the Word of God. We've got everything that pertains to life and godliness. And when somebody starts talking about God talking to them and telling them something, they're probably going to tell you something that's different than what the Bible says. And that needs to be a warning to you that you don't need to follow that doctrine. Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So there are a lot of people who will say, Lord, Lord, claim that Jesus is their Lord, but they're not doing the will of God. And so the only way we can know that what we're doing is right is if we're following the Word of God. And so that's the only way we can know truth. Hebrews 5 and verse 9 says, and having been perfected, talk about Jesus, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. And so we must obey Jesus, and the only way we know what Jesus said is through the scriptures. And so we have to follow those scriptures if we want to be saved. And we have to study those scriptures to know the will of God. 2 Peter 1:2-4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so it's through the knowledge of God and of Jesus, through the Word of God, that we can know how we need to live to be like God and stop sinning in our lives. And that's basically what Peter is saying here. And so it's through that Word that we need to be studying that we can learn how to be more like God and stop sinning in our lives. And it's so important for us to not be ignorant of any of those things. And then the Word of God will judge us. I've mentioned this many times in reference to those who say, oh, all you got to do to be saved is believe in Jesus. Faith only. That's all it takes. If you believe in Jesus, you're going to be saved. Well, we already looked at one scripture where Jesus in Matthew 7:21 said, that's not true. Many people are going to say to him, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these things for you? And yet he'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You've got to do the will of God, he says. And so faith only is not enough. And the basis of our judgment is found in the Word of God. Every time judgment is mentioned, it is never by the faith, but rather by the deeds that we do in this body that we're judged. Acts 17, verses 30 through 31. Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance to us of this to us by raising him from the dead. And so, he's going to judge the world by Jesus. And so if we don't know what we need to know about Jesus and how we're to walk as he walked and to live for him since he died for us, and that we're going to have to live righteous lives before him if we want to be saved, then we need to repent, because you're not going to get to heaven with faith only. You're going to have to do the will of God. John 12, verse 48, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. What word that he spoken? All that's in the New Testament are the words of Jesus. Now, we have the red letter edition where they highlight what Jesus said, but that doesn't mean the rest of it's not important. Jesus told the apostles that he was going to send the Holy Spirit to them so that the Holy Spirit might bring to their remembrance the things he had taught them. So the things the apostles wrote are the words of Jesus too. And so, to some extent, the red letter edition has done a lot of harm in people's concept, because they think all I got to do is read that red part and I got it made. No, all of that other stuff is important to you also. It's just as important, because it's the word of Jesus too. And so the only way we're going to know what Jesus taught is through his word. And that word is going to judge us one day. How well our lives line up with what Jesus taught through the New Testament. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 8. It's talking about the second coming. And to give you those of you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Generally, we talk about the gospel being the truth, the word of God, but specifically it is, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, Paul said, I declare to you the gospel that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again the third day. And so he says that's the basis of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So how in the world are we going to obey the gospel? How are we going to obey the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus? We do it through baptism. We die with him. We're buried with him in baptism. And we're raised to walk in newness of life. And so those who would say baptism has absolutely nothing to do with your salvation have not looked at what all the scriptures say about baptism and its importance and its significance. But here, he's going to take vengeance on those who do not know God, those who do not obey the gospel. And so we must know the word, because one day it's going to be our judge. And so that's extremely important for us. So how is your knowledge? Are there things in the scriptures that you're ignorant of? Are there some things perhaps that you've been taught And as I've heard people say, well, yeah, I agree with the Word of God, but there are some things in there I don't agree with. Yeah, we don't have that option to say, well, I accept some of what the Bible says, but don't accept all of what the Bible says. If we're going to toss out part of it, we just well toss it all out. If parts of it don't apply to me, if part of the will of God I can choose to accept or deny, then we just well deny it all. If we stumble in one point, we're guilty of it all. And so we need to ask ourselves sincerely about our knowledge. And if there are things that we are ignorant of, and if you've been taught something different than what you believe, you need to honestly look at that. We're not opposed to listening to what other people say, even if it's false teachers. But you need to be sure you check that out and find out if it's true or false. The same thing is true with what we tell you here. You need to check it out and see. And look and see if what I'm telling you today is true or not. Will you be destroyed or lost because of ignorance of God's word? Have you just kind of drifted along and just listened to what people tell you to do rather than searching it out for yourself? Are you going to lose your soul because you don't care much about the word? You don't love it enough to study it and meditate on it, as David said. Are you making an effort to learn God's will from his word? Be diligent to do that. And so if you want to be saved, you're going to have to do some studying. You know, we've all been through school and we've had those tests. And we know we had to study for those. And if we didn't pass. Same thing's true with the word of God. You have a big test, the best, biggest test of all your life on Judgment Day. And he's going to take and look at the books and to compare those books with the scriptures and with our lives, the names that are written in the book of life. And so if you have not been diligent in your study and made a strong effort to understand God's will in your life, then you may be in danger on Judgment Day. And so this is something you need to take very seriously. Do you take advantage of every opportunity to study and learn God's word? As I said earlier, half of you won't be back tonight, and I doubt that you're staying home to read your Bible. And so I wonder how God feels about that. Wednesday night, when we have Bible studies, some of you won't be there. Half of you, at least, won't be there. Is it? And I doubt again that you're studying at home. Many are not even taking advantage of watching our online services of both Sunday morning and Wednesday night and Sunday night. And so many are not even taking advantage of that. I don't know if you're watching what's on. I don't even know what's on TV at that time because I never look at it and never consider it. But I don't know what you're doing during that time that we're here studying the Word of God. But I really question how God feels about that. And it's something you need to consider in this area of ignorance. Do you think God is satisfied with your study and your knowledge of the Bible? That's something we need to honestly and sincerely ask. Is God satisfied with the emphasis I'm putting on studying and knowing his word and putting it to practice in my life? Because that's what's going to be judging us on Judgment Day, how well our lives correspond to the will of God. And we're going to have to answer to him for that. And I'm concerned about many, even within the church, who may be lost because of ignorance of the Word of God. So if we can help you today to begin that walk with God, if you're not a Christian, if you haven't repented of your sins, confessed Jesus as your Lord and Master and as the Son of God, been buried with him in baptism, and wash away all of those past sins, it'll never be brought up again, and then to be raised to walk in newness of life, living with Jesus as your Lord and Master, then you can do that and begin your walk with God and have that home in heaven. promised to you if you remain faithful through that. If you as a Christian have failed to live up to your responsibilities, perhaps in this area of knowledge of the Word of God, you haven't taken advantage of all of those opportunities that you have to learn and to study from His Word, you need to repent and confess that and get back in the right relationship with God. We can help you in either of these ways. We invite you to come as we stand together and sing.